Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day of life where Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for May 3rd, 2019, looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, The Man of Lawlessness. Paul writes, "Now about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed by a spirit, a message, or a letter thought to be from us, which says that the day of the Lord has already come. Let no one deceive you in any way, because that day will not come until the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above everyone who is called God or every object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. Do you not remember that, while I was still with you, I kept telling you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed in his own time. In fact, the mystery of this lawlessness is already at work, but only until the one who is now holding him back moves out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy when he appears in the splendor at his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, with every kind of miracle, that is, with false signs and wonders, and with every kind of unrighteousness that deceives those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And because of this, God continues to send them a strong delusion, so that they believe the lie, in order that all those may be condemned who refuse to believe the truth, but instead delighted in unrighteousness. But we are always obligated to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning for salvation by the sanctifying work of the Spirit and faith in the truth. For this reason, he also called you through our gospel, so that you would obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold on to the teachings that were passed along to you, either by word of mouth or by a letter from us. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and in his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good work and word." This is the word of our God. Second letter to the Thessalonians, and he is encouraging them to not fret about the coming of the end of the age or the coming of the end of time. He says in chapter 2 here, he talks about a man of sin or a man of lawlessness who will be revealed before that end. And so part of the reason that he includes it here, and this chapter especially, is to remind the Thessalonians that even though Jesus will be revealed at any moment, and we should expect him at any time, at the same time, there are a couple of things that need to happen first, and that will happen before he returns. One is the revealing or the exposure of this man of sin or the man of lawlessness. And what we have here, Paul really relates for us in these 12 verses some of the characteristics of this man of sin, some of the characteristics to watch out for. And when they line up, then you know that you see him. And the reason that he tells all this is kind of summarized in the closing paragraph of this chapter. When he says, "Stand firm and hold on to the teachings that are passed along to you. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and in his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good work and word." And so his purpose in talking about this man of sin is to encourage the Thessalonians to stand firm in the faith, to watch out, yes, and to be ready for the return of Christ, but also as a comfort, to recognize that the return of Christ isn't quite here yet, but Jesus is still at work within his church, and he is still at work to encourage and establish Christians in the firmness of the faith. And Paul says, well, encourage one another in that truth. So with that in mind, in that kind of a context, we look back at this man of sin. And when we talk about sometimes the word that is used is antichrist. Antichrist, the anti, often meaning against, but in Greek the prefix anti can also mean in place of, somebody who is against Christ and somebody else who is in place of Christ. And that characteristic really fits with the man of lawlessness that we have here. There are going to be many antichrists, as John writes in 1 John, but there's going to be one big A antichrist. So there will be many who oppose Christ and even contradict what Christ has said in his word, but there's going to be one particular antichrist, or one particular man of lawlessness, who will continue and be revealed at the end of time. And so we've got, I think, 8 characteristics that really help to highlight the characteristics of this man of lawlessness, beginning in verse 3, when Paul says, that day, judgment day, will not come until the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction. So his first characteristic, there's going to be this rebellion, and then that rebellion will also result in the revealing of this antichrist or this man of sin. Secondly, in verse 4, it's kind of a collection of characteristics that all go hand in hand. He opposes and exalts himself. He sits in God's temple and proclaims himself to be God. So he opposes and exalts himself above everyone who is called God. He sits in the temple of God, and he displays himself as God. And so we note that the Antichrist is a figure within the visible Christian church. We aren't looking for a political figure or just some metaphorical term, but this is an actual person who is going to be visible within the Christian church. And already back in verse 3, it's a man, a particular person. He sits in the temple of God, and he displays himself to be God, which is to say that he also calls for himself or takes for himself the authority to do what only God has done. And we'll get to that a little bit later here. But you might think of, you know, God has given his word and been very clear on what that word means and what the word says. And to take God's authority for oneself is to contradict what God has said and assert that this, now what I say, is proper Christian belief. Going on, we see that there's something or someone holding him back. Verses 5 and 6, I kept telling you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed in his own time. And even though the Antichrist was being restrained at the time of Paul, at the same time, the Antichrist, or this man of sin, would also be revealed. And he goes on that this mystery, the secret power of lawlessness, is already at work, but only until the one who is now holding him back moves out of the way. Then in verse 9, Paul records again, actually in verse 8, Paul records again that the lawless one will be revealed, or the man of sin will also be revealed, even though he is in check now. He's being restrained. And then finally, we have 2 more. In verse 9, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan in every kind of miracle, that is, with false signs and wonders, and then verse 10, every kind of unrighteousness that deceives those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And the truth that we see is that it is a saving truth. The gospel is the only saving truth. The truth that Jesus has done everything to win forgiveness for your sins. And then finally, in verse 11, God continues to send them strong delusions that they believe the lie, that they are hardened in their unbelief and in their lack of belief in Jesus, in their following of the Antichrist. And so he's kind of stitched those details together. And we see that this man of lawlessness, it was already at work in the time of Paul, and this power of lawlessness was already active at the time of Paul. The Antichrist, or the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, is within God's church, and yet he's also a man. So it's this power and this ongoing power that is characterized and encapsulated in a man. And opposing and exalting himself above everyone who is called God or every object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. And when you stitch all that together, there's really only one viable alternative, one viable explanation. That is both an institution and a man within the visible church that takes to itself the authority that only belongs to God and that has been active since the very beginning. And that is the lawlessness of what we see now in the Roman papacy and the Pope. Because even he realized that as a Lutheran, that the Pope has declared that those who believe in justification by grace through faith are condemned. Council of Trent. And even Pope John Paul II, nice man that he was, but he said, you know, there are those of the Islamic faith and other faiths that will be saved. And the official teaching, of course, is that there's no salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church. And so Pope John Paul II basically had a declaration that said, well, there are some in other faiths who are doing the best with what they know. And they're basically closet Catholics, but they don't know it yet. And then the working of that Roman Catholic Church over time. Consider, for instance, Pope Leo XIII on November 1st, 1885. He issued a declaration that required and tried to compel the United States to suppress all non-Catholic churches active in the United States. And so the characteristics that we have, it's primarily a spiritual thing. The refusal to love the truth and the truth of forgiveness alone through faith given by grace in Jesus Christ has been replaced by the idea that faith and grace is something that we earn from God by our good works. And this is a spiritual reality. And the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, has been revealed by the word of God. When we see that this man and this organization contradict the word of God, they are within the visible church, and he is revealed in his word. And the miracles and the false miracles that continue to happen in the Roman Catholic Church, and the false signs and wonders and fake appearances, or very real to those people, appearances of the Virgin Mary, are nothing but false signs and wonders supported by the devil himself. And so what shall we do, and what can we do? Well, pray, obviously, and hold on to the truth, because Jesus has revealed this man of lawlessness for our comfort and for your salvation. So let's cling to the truth and encourage one another in that truth. You can find us Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Helensvania Road in Maumee. God bless your day.